KMTT Kimitzion Tetzei Torah. This is KMTT, the Torah Podcast, and this is Ezra Beck. And this week is KMTT Drive Week. KMTT started 2 years ago, exactly, the week of Hanukkah, the week after Hanukkah. And 1 week a year, only 1 week a year, we take time off, take a little bit of time from the daily shiur to appeal to the listeners, to the community of KMTT, to support KMTT. Let me begin by listing the numbers and the addresses. In the United States, the office of Yeshivat Har Etzion, you can, by telephone, you can donate by credit card, or just to ask for instructions. The number is in New York, 212-732-4874. And the address where you can mail a check is the American Friends of Yeshivat Har Etzion, 160 Broadway, Suite 1000, New York, New York, 10038. KMTT is a listener-supported station. It has no other means of support. There's nobody behind KMTT except for you. If you appreciate it, if you want it to continue, then there is no other way for this to happen unless you, the listeners, chip in to keep it going. How much do we expect you to give? There's no amount. I mean, it's whatever you think is right, whatever you appreciate it. But you should, I think, do what we call a cheshbin. There are 5 episodes a week, at least 40 weeks a year, 42 weeks a year. It's over 200 episodes a year. How much would you pay for a shiur? How much would you pay to travel to a shiur? How much would you pay for a cup of coffee? Okay, so I'm going to throw out a number here, but it's not even a recommendation. I don't know. Every person sends in $100, then we're in business. Any amount will be appreciated, from $50 to $1,000. Sponsor a week, sponsor a month. But please take this week, take the time off. When you get to a phone, when you get to your checkbook, when you get to the mail, please be in touch. We're counting on everyone to participate. 1 week a year, we do a few minutes less of Torah, and a few minutes of kemach, of ensuring that Torah continues. Today is Monday, and I now pass you over, transfer you to the regular shiur of Rav Moshe Tarragon, the Inyanei Tefillah on prayer.
Each morning tefillah is prefaced by the incorporation of a section known as Pesukei Dezimra, a section of Shevach, of praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The source for incorporating Shevach within Tefillah, and not just within Tefillah, but immediately prior to the main essence of Tefillah, Shmon Esrei, the source stems from a Gemara in Brachos Lamed Beis, once again based on the paradigm of Moshe Rabbeinu. So much of our Tefillahs are based on precedent, on Psukim and texts which were recited or coined by David HaMelech, by Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, on experiences of the Avos, on experiences of Korbanos. It's with almost, not timidity, but with caution and recognition that we don't just approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu without warrant or prior precedent. So in the case of Shevach and Pesukei Dezimra as well, we look back to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara in Brachos says as follows, Darash Rav Simlai, Leolam yisader adam shivacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'achar kach yispalel. First he should articulate the praise of the Rabbonu shel Olam, and only afterwards daven. Minalan, where does the sequence or chronology stem from? Mi Moshe dechtiv v'etchanan al Hashem ba'isahi lemor. Moshe describes his ultimate tefila, petitioning on his own behalf for entry into Eretz Yisrael. Dechtiv, and at the beginning of Moshe's tefila, is dominated by his Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Elokim, Atah Achilosa, Laharos Esabdecha, Eskod Lecha, V'yesedcha Chazaka, Hashemiel Bashamayim Uvaratze, She'asechem Asecha, V'chigvarosecha. He's extolling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has displayed his greatness, his strong hand, unlike any other God, who can perform the miracles and the acts of strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And only after this preface, or this preamble, V'chsiv Basrei, E'ebrana, V'yereh Es Haaretz HaTovah, does Moshe lodge his first request. Rav Simlai, in the Gemara in Brachos, views Moshe Rabbeinu's model as a template for our own tefillah, and hence we preface Pesukei DeZimra, we are Misader Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, prior to launching into tefillah proper. The purpose of first being Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first offering praise, and only afterwards davening, seems to be related to something I discussed a few shiurim previously regarding the preface of Geula, at least according to Rashi's interpretation of the meaning of twinning Geula and Tefillah. The person lodges requests out of context, without any framework. He just has his own personal interests in mind. Tefillah can be viewed as very egotistical, self-centric, and even audacious. I stand in front of the Melech Malchei Melachim, and I lodge my own interests, and not only that, but those interests tend to be petty, small-minded, in light of the overall cosmological issues that maybe I should be discussing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shevach, as a preface to tefillah, is a manner of generating a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a passion for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that passion and proximity creates a more natural framework for requests for Shmon Esrei. Geula, according to Rashi, creates memories and hopefully dreams of national redemption, which establishes a relationship of love that allows the tefillah to supersede their egotistical and almost petty potential. Shevach creates a more theological underpinning, not a historical one, but each function in the same capacity. This connection, or this role of Shevach, both in response to recognizing the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also not just in recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's majesty, but as an exercise to create greater awareness, is quite evident in a very well-known Rambam. Aside from the mechanical mitzvahs, most of the mitzvahs we perform with our bodies, actions, there are some mitzvahs we perform with our minds, rational, cognitive beliefs we must affirm. There are two mitzvahs that are emotional. One mitzvah is to love Hashem, one mitzvah is to fear Hashem. And the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei Atara Perek Beis actually describes a method for generating these emotions. Actions can be legislated, ideas can at least be posed, a person has to accept them mentally, intellectually, but at least an intellectual idea is either something which can be affirmed consciously or rejected. However, an emotion is a lot harder to legislate and generate. So the Rambam writes as follows. Perek Beis Hilchos Yisrael De'atara Halacha Beis. Heichi Haderech Le'avaso V'yirasso. How does a person achieve Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem? And for the purposes of this year, I'll just quote the Rambam's mentioning of Avas Hashem. B'sha'a she'yisbonein ha'adam b'ma'asav uvru'av ha'nifla'im ha'gedolim. Person inspects HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. In fact, it's a very well-known question in the Rambam. The Rambam does not single out Torah. He just describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's general ma'asav uvru'av ha'nifla'im, his actions and his creation. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, when the Rambam describes the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, he does single out Talmud Torah for special mention, but here he doesn't. Person inquires, interrogates, explores Hashem's world. Hanifloim hagidolim, the great sweep. V'yiramehem chachmaso she'in la'erech v'lokeitz, and he recognizes the breathtaking infinity, the majesty, the splendor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinity. Miyad, immediately, hu ohev u'mishabeach. He falls in love, he becomes infatuated, transfixed by the magnitude of what he's encountering. But he doesn't just absorb it passively. Miyadu ohev, umishabeach, umifa'er. And somehow the human soul, when kindled, when awakened to glory beyond its own horizons, beyond its own finite capacity, somehow there's a transcendent response to praise, to glorify, to extol, to sing to it and about it. It's a response of passion. When a person senses something great, senses something valuable, he wants to share it with others. He wants to becomes a bard, wants to sing its song so others can share, and somehow by sharing with others, he's able to create some form of handle or capture the full depth, or as much of that depth of the experience as the human soul can acquire. So this Rambam describes a process of investigation, exploration, which yields praise, which yields exaltation. One can envision, when reading this Rambam, the precedent of Avraham Avinu, who on the one hand was the great discoverer of monotheism, looked at God's world and pretty much fulfilled these terms of the Rambam, Yisbonein ha'adam b'masav uvrav hanifalim ha'gedolim, and that awareness yielded his tefillah. Avraham was the first person on record to daven. And though the text of his davening isn't recorded, and we don't even see any verbal activity, just stands in front of God, it's clear that at some point Avraham had praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, had praised Hashem to others, to those in his generation. And Avraham fulfilled this transition from exploration and examination to deep, passionate identification and euphoria, generating an urge to articulate and verbalize the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to others. Psukei DeZimra is an inversion of this sequence. If recognition of Hashem's glory and infatuation with that glory yields the desire to praise Hashem, then by praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu every morning, we hope to instigate that love, that awareness, that proximity, that passion, which serves as a fitting preface or preamble to our tefillah. Everything which is a consequence can also be a catalyst. So in the Rambam, praise is the consequence of that recognition and awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and love for Hashem. In our daily tefillos, it isn't the consequence, but it is a catalyst. We praise to fall in love. We praise to cultivate, to foster a deeper, more authentic awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that awareness serves as the pretext of our actual tefillos and requests. It's interesting because the more well-known source of prefacing Shevach to Tefillah is the Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Beis, which I cited a few moments ago. But there's a slightly different nuance which stems from a Medrash. The Medrash states as follows, again, focusing on Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Veschan and his example, but it cites a different pasuk and a different source for this twinning or prefacing of Shevach to Tefillah. The Medrash writes as follows, Devarim Rabba Parsha Beis, Yachol Yehi Tovea Tzvachav V'yotzeilo, the person should just lodge his request and then depart. So again, the Medrash seems to be tackling or wrestling with the question of egocentrism and self-centricity. That's how tefillah would look. A person enters, petitions, and walks out. Blunt, unadorned, and almost crass. Avoiding this potential, avoiding this scenario, Kvar Pira Shlomo, the Medrash cites the example of Shlomo, excuse me, a pasuk in Melachim, Perek Ches, Melachim Aleph, Perek Ches, Lishmoa El Harina V'El HaTfila. Very well-known pasuk, in which Shlomo envisions a higher grade of tefillah, which is defined as Rina. Either the tefillah is defined as Rina, or is associated, is accompanied by Rina. But either way, tefillah itself is enhanced through song, through poetry, through emotions. I mentioned this pasuk based on a Gemara in Brachos, which demands, or at least encourages, tefillah b'tzibur, B'makom rina, sham tehei tefillah, in a public location, tefillah is best realized. So there, the Gemara in Brachos envisions or assumes a greater poetic quality to joint, choral tefillah, rather than personal, solitary tefillah. In this instance, the Medrash interprets as follows. L'shmoa el harina v'el ha-tefillah, rina zu kiluso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rina zu kiluso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The phrase rina refers to praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, singing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beauty and majesty. And somehow, this joining of tefillah and rina creates a more mellifluous and exquisite experience. I think the tone of this medrash is slightly different than the tone of the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos is perhaps addressing it from a more practical standpoint, that our tefillos should be less egotistical and thereby more successful. Yisadr Adam Shavacho. Moshe Rabbeinu set out a course or a roadmap for tefillah, and in order to ensure success, although ironically Moshe's tefillahs weren't successful, but to hope for success, we follow his strategy. Whereas the Medrash, citing the Pasuk in Melachim, isn't articulating a pragmatic sequencing, but rather an aesthetic, to create a richer tefillah experience. Tefillah joined with Shevach, perhaps not in the sequence I alluded to earlier, the Rambam, for Shevach to cause a greater recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thereby yielding a natural context for tefillah, but rather a tefillah which is framed by song, by joy, by praise, by art, by beauty, rather than just unadorned requests. Either way, Shevach, Psuki de Zimra, forms the cornerstone of our tefillah and is the preface of every morning's Shacharis. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Ches lodges a very strident and almost abrasive statement which helps distill the true nature of Psuki de Zimra. Amar Reb Yossi, the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Yud Ches claims, Yehei chelki migomrei halel b'chol yom. I crave to be amongst those who recite halel every day. Reb Yossi asserts this as an ideal. Daily recitation, daily recital of halel. The Gemara is aghast, ain't it? That can't be true. For Amar Mar, we have a different statement. Hakorei halel b'chol yom, a person who recites halel daily, hareza mechayiv from a gadev, that is tantamount to blasphemy. Chiruf v'gidov. So how could Reb Yossi aspire to be a member of the blasphemy club? So the Gemara responds, ki kamrinon b'psuki de zimra. The Gemara distinguishes between halel, as we know it, the prakim we recite on special days, Yom Tovim, Rosh Chodesh, and Psuki de Zimra, the daily Shevach. Halel recited daily is blasphemy. Psuki de Zimra recited daily is an ideal that Rabbi Yossi somehow craved, and one which we institutionalized as part of our protocol of tefillah. Why is Hallel different from Psuki de Zimra? And in what manner is the daily recital of Hallel so dangerous, so provocative as to constitute blasphemy, whereas Psuki de Zimra doesn't in any way provoke that type of response? The Rav Zatzal answered as follows. So Soloveitchik claimed that the Prakim of Tehillim, which we recite for Hallel, are by and large prakim which describe supernatural events, be they interventions in nature or interventions in history. But the common denominator is that the Ribbono Shel Olam intervenes, alters the course of our daily world. We recognize that alteration, that intercession or interception, and we respond through praise. Perhaps the Perek, which describes the intervention of Mitzrayim most clearly, Perakuf Yudalid, Betseis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov mi Amloes, Hayam Ra'av Vayanos, Herden Yisov Liachar, Harim Rakdu Chielim, Giva Oz Kivnetzon. So we marched out of Mitzrayim, led by the Anan HaKavod. Everything in our way was pulverized, was flattened, was dried, was split. Nature itself was reshaped, was reoriented. Later, subsequent prakim describe our hopes for ultimate intervention. Ki chilatza nafshi mimaves, esaini midima, Bechatzos Beis Hashem, Misochachi Yushalayim, Chazal say it refers to Yimot HaMashiach, Tchias HaMesim, Mulchemes Gog Umagog, not just intervention in nature as much as intervention in history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reshaping the historical timeline to usher in redemption. These are prakim, which reflect unique moments in the Jewish calendar, and are both responses to the experiences which those days create, and themselves generate an environment and an atmosphere for those days. Reciting Hallel on a daily basis would suggest that we are only able to detect the hand of God, the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the providence, Hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the supernatural events. That every day we look for the supernatural. We gaze upon our world and we look for the irregular. We look for the atypical. That's blasphemy. That's a theological flaw. Hashem is no less evident in the day-to-day maintenance of our world, in the laws of nature, of history, of time, of science, of psychology that he installed that lend structure and durability to our world. That is no less a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chachma and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will than supernatural, miraculous epiphanies or interventions. And a person who recites Hallel repeatedly essentially is asserting his inability to detect Hashem in the natural. For him, only the broad strokes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention reveal the presence of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hallel is reserved for special days during the year. By contrast, by contradistinction, Psukei DeZimra is a collection of Pirkei Tehillim describing the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the natural, in the typical, in the routine, whether it's the morality we sense in our world, the moral presence of life and of sustenance, supporting the weak, Oseh Mishpat LaShukim, Nosin Lechem L'Ravim, these are psukim lifted from Kuf Mem Vav, the parak immediately after Ashrei, Paseach HaSiodecho, Masbiya L'Chol Chai Ratzon, a pasuk from Ashrei, from Tehillim, Kuf Mem He, the next parak, Kuf Mem Zayin, describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu maintaining and supervising the laws of nature, Asam Gvulech Shalom, Chedev Chitmi Asbeich, Nosein Shelek Katsamer, snow, rainfall, wheat, productivity, Ritzon Yerav Yaseh, Eretz Hashem Esreyav, Asam Yachalim Mechazdo, whether it be in the natural conclusion of history. Psukei DeZimra is a more hushed, quiet flow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence through the annals of nature, through the annals of time, rather than a search for the extracurricular, rather than a search for the spectacular and for the supernatural. Psukei DeZimra is more suited for the day-to-day experience, whereas Hallel is more compatible with the miraculous and the supernatural. That's why reciting Psukei DeZimra is appropriate on a daily basis, whereas reciting Hallel would be tantamount to blasphemy. There are several themes that are highlighted in Psukei DeZimra. But Psukei DeZimra begins with a almost mystical bracha. The Shulchan Aruch actually cites a medrash that a petek, a little note, fell from heaven, and that note had 87 words. The gematria of Rosho Kesem Puz, a poetic description of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rosho Kesem Puz, some sort of golden glow, obviously not a description we take too literally, but an analogy or a metaphor. And Baruch Shamar is notable, it's sort of the preface of Psukei DeZimra. In fact, you have to be extra careful to recite it before Psukei DeZimra. The poskim are split as to whether it can be recited after davening, when Psukei DeZimra is no longer in its natural setting. It contains the word Baruch 10 times. Baruch Shamar Vayo Olam, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hosev Reshis, Baruch Omer Vyoseh. The number 10 is important. We'll see a bit later. David HaMelech recites the word Halleluka 10 times. But each of these praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each of these mentions of the word Baruch, describes a natural event embedded within the routine day-to-day world. Shamar Vayo Olam, he created the world. Oseh Bereshis, Omer Vyoseh, he speaks and it is fulfilled. Gozer Mekayem, Merachem al haaretz, has mercy on his world. Merachem al habriyos, mishalem sachar tov l'reav. God rewards those who fear him. The natural laws of cause and effect, of crime and punishment, and good deed and reward. Chai la'ad, kayam lanetzach, podel matzil, baruch shemo. So the very first bracha, or the preface, the prefatory bracha of Psukah deZimra, establishes the overall tone of Psukah deZimra in distinction to Ashra, in distinction to Hallel. The Psukah deZimra is meant to reflect the natural presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the supernatural, which if recited on a daily basis could be tantamount to blasphemy. That same rhythm of the routine may be evidenced by another cornerstone of Psukah deZimra. When I say cornerstone, because the three cornerstones of Psukah deZimra are Baruch She'amar, Ashrei, or more appropriately, Tehillel David, Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei, and Yishtabach, and if a person is pressed for time, then those are the three minimal installments of Psukah deZimra, Baruch She'amar, Ashrei, and Yishtabach. The Gemara in Brachos questions the importance of Tehillel David, of Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei. The first two Psukim, Ashrei Yishev Yisecha, Jiluch Asela, and Hashem Shekachalo, are lifted from other Prakim in Tehillim, but those are not integral parts of Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei. But the Gemara in Brachos asserts that Ashrei, Tehillim Kuf, or Tehillel David, Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei, contains two crucial ingredients. On the one hand, it contains the Pasek, Pasech Es Yodecha, Umasbia L'chol Chai Ratzon, describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu supporting an entire planet, humanity, as well as the animal, the flora, and the fauna, an entire universe of teeming with life supported by the Rabbanu Shel Olam. But it describes that support by attributing or assigning a pasuk to each letter of the Aleph base. Ayro Mimcha Lokai Melech, Aleph, B'chol Yom Avarcheka, Beis, Gadol Hashem Umlo Miod, Gimel, Ritzon Yov Yaseh, Reish, Shomer Hashem Eskolo Havav, Shin, Tilas Hashem Yidaber Pi, Taf. After all, there are many prakim in Tehillim which describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu supporting life on our planet or in our universe. But there is no parak in Tehillim describing that process of supporting life by employing every single letter of the Aleph base. What makes this combination so unique? What makes this tandem between Pasech Es Yodecha, that Pasek, and the overarching alphabetic framework of Ashrei, what makes that so powerful? It's not just that it is aesthetically more pleasing as a poem would be because it's written through an acronym using every letter of the Aleph base. What makes it so powerful? By describing the sustenance of our world, which the Ribono Shel Olam performs, and describing it with every single letter of the Aleph base. The Aleph base is the basic framework of speech, of thought, of words, the basic framework of our reality. We are intuiting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sustaining of our world can be seen, can be grasped through that basic day-to-day routine landscape. We don't have to search for the extraordinary, for the miraculous. An unadorned or out-of-context pasuk describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providence or hashkacha may have been cast as supernatural or super routine. But a perek, which is so comprehensive from a human standpoint, the human perspective, which sees its world and mediates its world through cognition, thought, language, and every single building block of language is employed to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha, it's that combination and that combination alone which Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei possesses which captures the theme of Psukah deZimra as opposed to the theme of Hallel, as opposed to the blasphemy which Hallel would maintain. There's another form of praise aside from Psukah deZimra and aside from Hallel or aside from Shevach. And this form of praise also appears from time to time in Psukah deZimra. The Gemara in Brachos offers a very provocative statement. The Gemara says on Dav Zayin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I think, Mishimim ben Yochai, Miyom Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Olamo, from the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu created his world, from the beginnings of time, Lo Ya Adam Shehodel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no one was Modeh, praised Hashem, Ad Shebasa Leah, until, of all people, Leah, began the history of Hodiah, V'Hodaso. She named her son Yehuda Hapam, and she claimed, Odes Hashem. I will give Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Could it be that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov inhabited our planet, served HaKadosh Baruch Hu, glorified His presence, and didn't praise Hashem? Evidently, this Gemara distinguishes between two forms of praise. Shevach is wondering, rejoicing, glorifying from a distance. Distance not geographically, but it's theoretical. I witnessed, I explore, I absorb the beauty, and I'm brought to praise and to love and to appreciate. Hodiah is not praise as much as personal thanks, perhaps realized through praise, at having been saved from crisis, from peril, in Shalach, in the Az Yashir, in the Shir HaSayam. In the Az Yashir, Am Yisrael celebrates HaKadosh Baruch Hu's salvation. Az Yashir Moshe Avnei Yisrael Sashir Azos Lashem Vayamru Lemar Ashira Lashem Ki Ga'o Ga'a. I will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for He is mighty. Onkelos interprets this as Neshabach Vinodei. I will praise and I will give Hodah. Rav Lichtenstein once mentioned the difference between Shevach and Hodah. Shevach is a speculative, theoretical praise at witnessing the glory of Hashem. Hodiah is thanks. We thank Hashem for direct deployment or direct deliverance. The end of Shemoneh Esrei is typically known as the section of Hodiah, whereas the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei is described as the section of Shevach. Before we daven, we praise Hashem theoretically. After we daven, demonstrate the confidence that our tefillos are accepted, we actually perform the act of thanking Hashem for having accepted our tefillos. Modim anachnu lach, shatu Hashem lokinu. Hatov shimcha ulacha no'ed lehodos. The final two brachos describe Hodiah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Leah was the first person not to praise Hashem. That had obviously, inevitably, been experienced before, but was the first person whose prayers were answered out of crisis, the crisis of being the despised, scorned wife. And she responded to her prayers being answered not by praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but simply by thanking Him, by being moda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not the experience of Shevach, but the experience of Hodiah. As I mentioned earlier, most of Sukkah de Zimra seems to be inclined towards Shevach, towards theoretical praise. However, there is one parak, a parak from Tehillim, known as Mizmar Lesoda, Hariyo Lashem Kol Haaretz, Yivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, Tehillim Parak Kuf, which does seem to articulate Hodiah or Toda as a cornerstone, in this case, a direct reference to Karban Toda, which was offered in the wake of personal rescue. Twice in this parak, the word Toda is highlighted, Mizmar Lesoda, Hariyo Lashem Kol Haaretz, Ba'u she'arav b'toda, chatzerotav b'tila, hodu lo baruchushmo. Actually, the word hodu, to a degree, also represents the recognition of personal thanks. So that Psukei de Zimra is not just an opportunity for the Rambam's description of Shevach, witnessing our world, but personal interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based on the recognition that these aspects of Hashem's morality and chesed affect and continue to affect us on a personal basis. It's very interesting that the Rambam rules that even before Psukei de Zimra, what we refer to as Birchas HaShachar, bracha on chickens awakening the day, calling the morning into action, a bracha on clothing, Malbish Arumim, a bracha on the glory of Am Yisrael, Otei Yisrael B'Tifarah, Pakeach Ivrim, the faculty of sight, we typically rifle off these brachos in sequential order when we're in shul. The Rambam paskins in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet, that these brachos are recited in response to the various stimuli. Kisha Shomea Kol HaTarnagolim, when you actually hear the chicken, you recite Hanosein Lasech Levina. When you get dressed, you recite Malbish Arumim. When you put your frock on, not just getting dressed. You recite Oter Yisrael when you open your eyes. You recite Pukiach Ivrim when you sit in bed. You say Matir Asirim because you have awoken from that slumber, the partial death. When you place your feet on the ground, Rakar Etzalamayim, you celebrate the stability of dry land, Zakev Kifufim, etc. So perhaps according to the Rambam, the Berachas HaShachar are more attuned to the experience of Hodiah, to immediate response and thanks to personal experience, rather than to our minhag, a general recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world, providence, and systematic sustaining of our world. The Rambam perhaps turns these brachos from Shevach into Hodiah by scheduling them immediately upon interacting with these experiences which are vital to the human condition.